This episode is brought to you in part by Zondervan, publisher of The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family, written and narrated by retired neurosurgeon and politician Dr. Ben Carson. Available now, everywhere you get audiobooks.
This is CT Media.
Welcome to another Four on the Floor style episode of Music and Meaning with yours truly, host Charlie Peacock. It's Women's History Month 2024, and I can't think of a better way for all of us at Music and Meaning to acknowledge the importance of women's history than to talk with three young women artists at the beginning of their history-making musical exploits. Will you please welcome our power trio of Erica Daves from the country sibling trio, Daves Highway, Abby Seiler. She's a pop folk artist and songwriter and also writes for Integrity Music here in Nashville, and Jasmine Mullen, singer-songwriter with the band The New Respects and a published author of two children's books. Welcome, you guys. So good to have you with me today. I've enjoyed doing a little bit of the Google on the three of you. Some of I know you more personally. Why don't you start out by just saying how you know me?
Well, I mean, we met before I knew myself almost, it seems. I was like 10 years old. We were trying to figure out if it was 10 or 11, and you found a YouTube video and sent my dad an email that said, "How can I help?" Pretty much to sum you up as a person, that's who you are, is what can I do to help?
You. And thank you.
Yeah, that's how we met. And then you made our first EP whenever we were little bitty kids. And then you were my professor in school. And
right. And now you're a country music star.
Some might say. I'm glad you think so.
Well, you're a star to me.
Thank you.
I watch you guys on social media, and I see all the concerts that you're doing and where you're traveling to and the life that God has given you and your talent is taking you to. So I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Abby, I just want to say I'm a big fan of yours. I think you're a fantastic songwriter, and I want the audience to know a little bit about what you're doing right now, because I think, like the three of you, that as guests and as women artists, you're unique in that you profess Christian faith, but you're all three working outside of Christian spaces exclusively. But then you also have a tenderness to it. You have an interest in moving towards serving the church sometimes. And I think in so many ways, the three of you represent, for me, as both as a record producer and an A&R director and an educator, you are kind of the students that I was always hoping to create, you know, people who had that kind of spiritual and musical flexibility. So good on you. And I'd love just tell us a little bit about what a day looks like for you, because I know, you know, you're writing pop songs, amazing pop songs, and you're also writing for Integrity Music.
Yeah. A day. What does a day look like for me? Yeah. Well, yeah, I write a lot of worship. I love writing for the church. I'm pretty involved at my church where I lead too, which is how I met Jasmine. Mm-hmm. She came and led with me at Church of the City for like a girls' day we had. And so I love leading worship. I love writing songs in general. I love writing songs out of the scope of the Christian world, but still being with Jesus in them.
Yeah.
That's kind of my heart for like my artistry, is like CCM, Christian radio, is like so formulaic and it serves its purpose. But I just think my generation is really like longing for truth and authenticity in Jesus, but like in a different way. And so that's kind of the main focus of like my day to day, is what I'm thinking about all the time, is like What are the songs that I'm going to write that can reach people my age who are like struggling with their faith, or people that love Jesus but are like, I'm kind of sick of worship music or like Christian music and, you know, want something.
As a genre, you mean?
Yeah. Of course, there's like, I love worship music in itself, but yeah, that's kind of like my heart.
That's great. You know, Jasmine, your band has been so influential, I think, in carving a new path and your path. But I also want to just highlight the fact that you come from a musical family. So the new respects is sort of the natural outcome of being a musical kid in some ways. Now you're also a writer. You're writing children's books. You're in Rolling Stone magazine, right? You were telling me you're meeting with a mutual friend of ours, right? A book agent, about whatever your next book is going to be. Those books have a real focus that you were sharing with me earlier. You were just sharing that, like, okay, you were leading worship together, right? I just love that. I want our listeners to hear what it means, like what's going on in your heart and mind to build a life that's that comprehensive. For you, it has, okay, I can be a pop star. I can lead worship at my local church. I can be concerned about racial reconciliation and inequities that I see in society. You're working on all that. I mean, share with us some of that.
Yeah, I think talking about racial reconciliation and writing books to kids about that and singing songs with my bandmates about freedom and having fun, all of those things spill for me from the same place, which is God. Mm-hmm. And I think for a long time, I wanted to make God a part of my life, but I don't want to do that anymore. I want God to be the means by which everything is moving, like not a part, but I'm part of him.
Yeah.
And so that has just made the difference in the way that I move, because it's moving from a place of freedom and just being like, God, how do you see these people? What do you want me to say to them? What do you want me to talk about? Mm-hmm. And there's been a real friendship with God there that makes me excited to extend that friendship to other people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's just where it all comes from for me.
I love that you use the word freedom. That's always been my hope for artists when I've been in this business for so long and helping develop artists, is that if at the end of the day, if they haven't gained one thing or learned one thing, it's just to be like, if you profess to be following Christ, then you have this huge, massive freedom to be God's person everywhere and in everything.
Mm-hmm.
All of these labels and sort of little boxes and niches and all these things, they can really fall away, and you can be free to be God's person in so many different places in society. And it sounds like you're on your way. I mean, you're doing it, which leads nicely into the topic that is at the foundation of this episode. This is the 2024 Women's History Month, as I said, and their theme this year is women who advocate for equity, diversity, and inclusion. And it seems to me that you all are doing that in your own personal ways, and that the gospel of Jesus, pointing to a new way to be human, is one of equity and diversity and inclusion. And yet, because we're broken people in a broken world, even our best efforts are just proximate. They're never perfect. But what I love from what I'm hearing from you is that you have your compasses pointed in that direction. And good on you. That's beautiful. Maya Angelou said, each time a woman stands up for herself, without knowing it possibly, without claiming it, she stands up for all women.
Hmm.
Simone Biles, a great gymnast, said, it's important to teach our female youth that it's okay to say, yes, I am good at this, and you don't hold back. Is that echo your generation? Are you guys ready to say, hey, I'm a boss, I'm good at this? Is that the way you see life?
Totally.
I hope so.
I think for me, something that is maybe on accident taught to girls growing up is to be like, no, not me. You're great, but not me, you know? Mm. It's supposed to be a form of humility, but I think it actually creates less spaces for other women because there's never this sense of like, I've achieved and I get to continue. Right. And so I think to be able to be like, I'm kind of doing good, you know, is like allowing other people to be able to say, I'm doing good and to like grow from that as opposed to just being like, I kind of suck, but you're great.
Yeah, that's good. Erica, you are right in the heart of country music. And I know you're close with Jake Owens, who's one of the top male artists in country music. I would just love to know from you, from your perspective as a 26-year-old woman. You're right in the heart of it. You're not a superstar yet, but you're doing it. What are the gender dynamics like in 2024 in Nashville, Tennessee, in country music? Is this still a boys' club?
Wow. That's a question. In a way, it does feel sometimes like it is a boys' club, but then there's people like Lainey Wilson that come in and seem like, I feel like she's changed everything for...
Yeah, tell us how.
Not only does she have like the songs, she is an incredible singer, but she also, every day I feel like I see a new brand deal with Lainey Wilson, and she's on Yellowstone and she's doing so many cool things that I feel like a lot of women have had a few songs and then they're done.
Right.
But she's building this huge, long-term superstar career. But she's still humble and she's still herself. Mm-hmm. I think she's amazing.
Right.
Can we turn this into a Lainey Wilson conversation?
Sure. I love that you have a hero.
Oh, yeah. Currently, she is definitely one of them for country music. But yeah. I think that there is a place for women in country music more so than ever before. And there's a lot of women coming up that are so good that it's almost as if they're demanding a place.
Yes.
It's so cool. I want to be one of them.
Yeah. Well, I think you are one. Let's just keep going around the table. How about you?
It's kind of something I've been really walking through is like, I've led worship since I was like 16. And for so much of it, it's been next to a man, like beside a man. I sing one token song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't really get my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like how it is a lot of the time in the worship world. I feel like God has blessed me so much and put these women around me that have taught me like I have my own voice and like what I have to say matters. And like God wants me to like lead.
Yeah. Mm.
People like Leslie Jordan, she's been a huge mother figure, but she's also just so humble in every way and like leads people really, really well. But like, is just super grounded. Those are the kind of women where I'm like, there's a place to demand your way into a room. Sure, if you think that you deserve to be there, but it's just the like gentleness of like, I am who I am. And like you were saying, like, I'm amazing, but like, I'm not going to like force you to see that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be who God made me to be. And and that's enough.
Mm. Yeah. Jasmine, how about you? Gender dynamics today in the music industry?
I think it is a thing in Nashville specifically. I think there's an equity in terms of like the weight of women's voices and the weight of men's voices. But what I will say is I've also had one of the deepest privileges of my life is being raised by my mom, who she is this Black woman who is like playing guitar on these stages, like leading people in ways that seemed normal to me. Like I was just raised by this leader. She has such a strong sense of self and of worth. And I think being able to be raised by that, even though I can see it, I saw the ways that she moved in it. And I'm like, I can do that too. And so I think that is what's cool to me is like, I don't know if I'll ever see, I hope so, but I don't know if I'll ever see a Nashville without struggle when it comes to like femininity and masculine, you know, the tug of war. But what I do know is somebody made a little bit of space for me and now I get to make a little bit more space for somebody else and then we get to just keep doing it.
I love how hopeful that is and intentional it is. You wanted to give props to Lainey, how about we go around and just maybe each of you tell us who are the female artists that are absolutely essential on your playlist right now? So we got Lainey. Yeah. Who else?
I mean, Taylor Swift is always going to be there.
Who's this?
I know you've probably never heard of her. But like Olivia Rodrigo, I just saw her on Saturday.
Okay, yeah.
She's amazing.
All right.
I'll stop there. I can go on about women forever.
All right, three great artists. All right, Abby?
Taylor Lenhart is one that comes to my mind because I just love her.
Taylor's great.
And she's just the best in every regard and doesn't even care about blowing up or whatever, but she's just absolutely amazing. But then I think of like Brooke Ligertwood and Carrie Jo. Like I was thinking Worship, but
yeah,
there's a lot of females I could think of. But
those are some great ones.
Just I watch them lead. I'm like, dang, y'all are like walking in that.
Yeah, totally. I would say Cleo Soul is one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. She like loves God, but also just like sings about life and she's so poetic. Another person for me is Little Sims. She's like this London rapper girl.
Okay.
She's so cool. And she talks about really cool things. And then, who I want for my third one? Honestly, I might steal Brooke. Like, yeah. Brooke is just everything to me. Brooke Ligertwood. She's just like so powerful and so fun and like kind and full of life.
Yeah. She's been doing it for a while. How about the Grammys? Did you guys watch the Grammys at all? A lot of women represented.
Yeah.
I mean, that was serious.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big throwdown, I thought.
Billy.
Yeah. So I think that's positive growth, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And also, hey, Taylor Swift is lifting all boats right now, not only for women, but for all artists across the world, and showing that you can still create superstars. Could still create people that are ubiquitous around the world, which has been a huge worry in the music business. I know that three of you have probably faced that, you know, and you were just talking about Taylor's, like determining like, hey, am I going to go for the golden ring or am I happy to be indie? And could we talk about that for just a minute? Like, what's your position on that in terms of dreams and aspirations? Do you guys feel yourselves sort of the sky's the limit? Or do you feel like, you know what, for my own mental health or for the fact of just the world has changed, I'm just going to kind of, if I can get in this zone here, I'm going to be happy with that. You want to start, Jasmine?
I think for me, the sky is the limit, but through the lens of God. I don't want to ever shoot for anything without him and find myself somewhere where I don't even know who I am anymore.
Ooh, love it.
I'm just the kind of person who's like, let me try this. I want to try this. I want to try that. And I think that that's something God put in me.
Yeah.
So I don't have like a ceiling for where I like want to go.
Yeah.
But I always want to like wherever I'm going, be like, God, is this where you want me to be? And to be open to hearing him. If he says, yeah, you're great, you know, have fun. Or to be like, no, this is not for you. You need to pivot. And I'm like, okay. So I just want to like be able to hear freely so that wherever I end up is where he wants me to end up.
I feel similarly to you. I used to just not even really think about like what the biggest thing I would want to be. I mean, obviously everyone, when you're like a kid, you're like, I want to be a superstar. But more than ever right now, I feel like I'm way more concerned with building like the small people that are going to be my people.
Yeah.
Like I love house shows and I love just hearing one person be like, your song really meant a lot to me. So that longevity, like aspect of artistry and being surrounded by people that have taught me that is just a lot more appealing to me than being like, I want to be on the big stage and like, especially too with like, TikTok and everything and artists and just seeing the correlation of are these real fans for these people?
Yeah. A million people watching doesn't mean a million people giving you their email address.
Yeah.
How about you, Eric?
I second and third both of the things that y'all said. My main thing that I was going to say was longevity as well, because it would be so fun to like win a Grammy. I would love to win a Grammy, but like at the same time, I want to be able to make music for the rest of my life and hopefully that be my full income for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right now I have a day job. I have immediate goals, which are quit my day job.
Yeah.
But like whatever path can lead to me pursuing my dream all the time is what I want.
I love that. Yeah, I don't know if you remember this or not, but you know, when I was your professor at Lipscomb, that was something I harped on quite a bit, was just sustainability, like making that your goal and incremental achievements that lead to sustainability over time, which leads me to the next question, which is, what are the biggest challenges that you're facing as artists? That would be part of the question, just in general. But then as female artists, I mean, you guys are right on the edge of breaking. As far as I'm concerned, as somebody who's been a talent scout and A&R director, I mean, I see the three of you as you've done a lot of things and you're just right on the tipping point of like just one event, just like it was for me in my career too. It's like I can point back to one event. It's like that one event happened and then everything after that, it's like it changed it. So what are your challenges? What are you having to overcome and who's helping you overcome them?
Since she said TikTok, I'll say TikTok. I feel like people not paying attention to you in the music industry if you don't have certain numbers on social media. That could be just an excuse. But at the same time, like, we're posting and posting and posting and banging our heads against the wall. Like, when is something going to hit?
Yeah.
And it's just not.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of issues with us just getting super frustrated and being like, hey, is there A&R people in the world anymore that want to find acts that are good? You just said we should acknowledge that we're good. I'm like, we're really good.
Yeah, and
nobody cares. This sucks. But like, I also don't want to sell my soul to the machine of just doing the dances or whatever you're supposed to do to go viral on TikTok.
Yeah.
But I would do a portion of that to get people to pay attention. But that's a big one. But the thing that helps me with that a lot is like the fact that it's not just Erica Daves pursuing this thing.
Yeah.
It's me, my brother, and sister, and we're all in this together. Yeah. And like, we all know that if one of us fails, we all fail. There's a push with all three of us to really want this to work. And of course, like, we have supporters in the industry, like we have management and booking that are really good to us. And I'm so thankful to have those relationships. But the most important is the bond between the three of us.
You know, I'm going to paraphrase this just because of the profanity in it. But Chris Rock said something one time that I thought was really funny and profound at the same time, as he sometimes does. And he said, can you imagine the kind of songs that Stevie Wonder would have written if he'd been messing around with his social media the whole time?
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's just so true. Is that just so burdensome?
Yes.
Or is there pleasure in it too? Being an artist poster, artist influencer, you know, the whole thing that industry asks you to be. And then judges you by it. Like, even just hearing you talk, I can see that you feel the weight of the fact that you're in judgment. It's like you don't have enough numbers, the metrics. Like, there's always going to be somebody like who's going to say, yeah, but Drake's got 3 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
And then we're like, thank you so much for pointing that out.
And then you're thinking, like, well, yeah, but I mean, we had 34,000. And then some kid in Peoria is going like, man, I hope I have 34,000 someday. So it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, why are we letting these people judge us like that? To say that that's our value and our worth is based on these numbers that, which we know for a fact, don't necessarily translate. Some of them do translate, but not that many translate. If you decide tonight, you come up with a really dope dance and you get on there tonight and you got like 1 million people, does that mean 1 million people are going to become Dave's Highway fans?
No.
Like, are they going to come to a show in Nashville?
They're not.
Okay.
But it might get me a record deal. You never know.
Yeah. Right. But I don't know. You know, my wife Andy and I are promoting a book right now, and we feel just so bound to this social media thing too, you know, because everybody, that's what they're looking at. Our, you know, it's not just the music business, it's publishers as well. And to me, I'm just starting to go like, this is kind of an empty errand, you know, that I'm running on for something I'm not quite sure I believe in.
Yeah. You know?
But do you guys feel like this is, you're bound to it generationally? Like, this is your world?
It feels like the new frontier in a lot of ways to me. I don't love the fact that I have to do it. And I feel like I can't fully crack it. But then there's like a part of it that feels like California Gold Rush, where it's just like, okay, like, you gotta go find it. Go figure it out, you know? And so I think part of it is exciting to me because it's always changing. The music industry that my parents described to me was different than the one that they were told about. And so I'm like, okay, I don't know how to crack this because it feels like nobody knows how to crack it. It just happens.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I'm like, but I can't just not do it.
Right.
So I think I feel exhausted by it a lot of the times because it doesn't feel solution-based. It just feels random.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I'm like, but I gotta make. I gotta create.
Yeah.
So I think I'm trying to look at it with a hopeful lens, but then some days I'm like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Abby?
I feel that very much, yeah. I feel like even social media in general is like, we know it's like affecting us negatively, but we're all like, it's part of what we have to do. For me, and not saying I really have figured this out, but it's like, I have to find a balance of like separating myself from being like, okay, I'm going to make these three things and post them and be like, this is my song. And then be like, okay, I got to take time just away completely from it. Because I just get sucked down the hole of like comparing and all of the things that everyone does, right, even if they say they're not. But also recognizing, like you were saying, like, how do I do it in a way that is going to feel creative and life-giving? Because we know that there are good elements of it. Like, we know that we find music through social media. That's like how everyone finds music, not on the radio.
Right.
Kids are finding it from TikTok, from Instagram. So we have to be like, okay.
Yeah, and gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally. Like,
yeah.
It's just a different world. So it's like trying to find a balance is the best way I am thinking about it now, because I'm like, I'm not making this song to be like, this song's going to go viral on Instagram or TikTok. Like, I'm making this song for like the person like me who was like hurting when they were 16 and like needed that reminder of like hope.
This is Andy Ashworth. I hope you're enjoying Music and Meaning, my husband Charlie Peacock's latest creative collaboration with CT Media. I love it, but wouldn't want it to overshadow our own good creation together, a brand new book we've co-authored titled Why Everything That Doesn't Matter Matters So Much, The Way of Love in a World of Hurt. It's out now and available everywhere in book, Kindle, and audio form by Andy Ashworth and Charlie Peacock.
What I loved most of all about Israel and why I became a Zionist was because Zionism was a rejection of victimhood.
A few weeks ago on CT's The Bulletin, we launched Promised Land, a new podcast about Israel and Palestine in a post-October 7th world.
6:30 a.m. we're in our synagogue praying and sirens go off and they're going on.
Based on interviews and conversations captured on the ground in Israel last November, it's an exploration of the spiritual, political, and historical roots of the conflict.
When there's a weak Israel, every Jew in the world is weak.
And why should a Russian Jew who has nothing to do with this land come here? Why? Well, I mean, if you want, you can give them Texas. You love them so much.
I am alive because I didn't come home. But hey, all my friends that were here were murdered. Here, over there.
This week, Promised Land moves to its own feed. You'll find links in the show notes. So if you haven't heard it yet, you can go catch up and catch the new episodes as they come all in one place.
Who's mentoring you guys right now? Like, who are the people in your life that are trustworthy? They're not trying to monetize you. They don't have a dog in the hunt on that way. They're just there for you. Mm. They're there to support you, to build you up, to encourage you. And when you ask for it, they can give you wise advice.
Mm. I've got three.
Okay.
The first one is a lady named Janice Gaines. She's dope. She just will tell me the truth sometimes. Hurts my feelings. But yeah. It's always really solid. The second one, I've been going to counseling at Porter's Call for probably, I'm like 8-9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so Beth Barkus is definitely like
Beth
a voice.
Beth is amazing, yeah.
Yeah, she's like a voice of love in my life. Her and Janice are both voices of love in my life. And see something I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is Carol Maxwell. She's just the most joyful, like bubbly, kind person. And she's like a voice of hope for me. If I feel like something is just like there's nothing good that you can see in it, like she can see it for me. Mm. And so those three women are like rocks in my life.
Mm.
Who I often am like, Janice, like, is this dumb? And she's always like, well, let's not call anything dumb, like, let's figure out, you know. And
yeah.
And so they're lovely and I love them.
Wow. Mm. Freedom givers.
Yeah, totally freedom givers.
Love it.
I kind of mentioned mine. Writing at Integrity has been really cool. Like, one of the best parts has been being with the artists. So they have a duo called Mission House, who's Taylor and Jess. Jess Ray lives in North Carolina, but they both have been really mentor and just like people that I look up to. And I'm like, you guys are doing it in a way that like is sustainable and you love it and your life is good. They're not rich. Like, they're just doing life and like doing what they love.
Mm.
And then one of mine also is a man named Ross King. That's like a writer, but I've been doing like artist development. He's just been a writer forever, but really has like wanted to see change in Christian music. And so he's just been a really great advocate and like loves me super well and encourages me super well.
So if we go on your Instagram right now, is Ross one of the people that you're collaborating with on productions and stuff, doing tracks or?
Writing with him, yeah. And then we kind of have been working with like a few producers, just like as a trio, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big ones is Ron Fair.
Yeah.
He taught a class at Lipscomb and he has been with us for years and is one of the first people that ever heard me as a singer and like really supported Erica Daves as a singer. And it was like, you have what it takes. And I'm like, okay, if you say so. He like discovered Fergie and Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll take that. He's made a lot of our records recently, but he is kind of more in a coaching place right now with us, just supporting us. My mom is another one. She's not in the music industry, but she is a gift, straight up gift from God. I talk to her on the phone every single day, more than once, probably. I probably annoy the crap out of my mom. While not being in the music industry, she is heavily involved in all things music industry with us, too.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Can we talk just music stuff for a minute? Like, talk to me about making songs. Like, are any of you beat makers at all?
I want to be better.
I've heard you beatbox before, right?
Right. So
yeah, come on, bust out a little beatbox.
I'm trying to be better at production.
Come on.
Like, I really love lo-fi, so I've recently made like a lo-fi, just super simple beat thing.
Yeah.
And it was like so inspiring, and it was like really life-giving too, because I listen to it all the time.
Okay,
I love
so
that.
Tell our audience what lo-fi is.
I mean, it's basically just like a beat and then like a melody, instrumental. It revolves around the beat, so it's like kind of hip-hop-y.
So it doesn't have to have a lot of instrumentation. And
it's like super like a thing now. Like my mom's a fifth grade teacher and she plays it for her students like all day.
Right.
Just in the background.
Are there some popular artists that our audience might know that work in that lo-fi space?
Yeah, there's a lot of like R&B people. I mean, one of my favorite, there's this girl named Umi that is like R&B, lo-fi.
Yeah.
I don't know, like even like Daniel Caesar, I think you could say uses kind of lo-fi vibes, a lot of R&B.
Yeah. How are you doing with your piano chops?
I'm fine. I'm okay. Yeah. using it more as a tool these days, but like I but you're writing, break out some karaoke every once in a while.
Keyboard or piano?
Mostly piano, but I also dabble in guitar a little bit these days. I'm terrible. I'm so bad, but it's enough for me to like get some different sounds out of an instrument.
Well, I don't have a guitar anymore. I sold all my guitars, but I have a baritone ukulele. Just so you don't feel bad, I still play like a 14-year-old. Like I channel my 14-year-old self. Jasmine, how about you? You're working on songs. Is it all in your head first? You hear it all? Or are you using, are you sitting down with a DAW, you know, Pro Tools or Logic?
I'm in front of Logic. Well, it just depends. Monday through Wednesday, me and my bandmates like treat the studio like a 9-to-5 where we like go into the studio and we're like, Darius is the real beat maker.
Yeah, he's a drummer.
Yeah, so he like knows what he's doing. And sometimes I'm just like singing like an idea that I was like, oh, let's think about this the other day. And then he makes it into something. Yeah. And then sometimes, this is like 25% of the time, I'm making a horrible track.
Right.
Where I like wrote a full thing and then I'm like sending it to them and like being like, can you dissect this?
Right.
And fortunately, like we've spent so much time with each other that they can kind of like figure it out. But I'm a pretty rudimentary, like not so great, but can make like enough of a track and can play enough keys and a little bit of guitar. I used to play guitar in the band and then I kicked myself off the guitar because Zandy is so good. She's so good that I'm like, we don't need that. We don't, right? So I like to stay in my lane. I like to like make a little track and, but I'm not great. But I would like to be better because I want to communicate better. But yeah, most of the time I'm either singing them a little something or sending them a little something.
Right. It's amazing how as you mature as a musician, how you see your deficiencies and you kind of see like, okay, I'm either going to make a commitment to like improve this or just sort of draw a line in the dirt and say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
We raised two musical kids and one of them is in music as a vocation. The other works in public radio now. But I always saw like it was almost a requirement for a child to not have a strong analysis editing ability too early. In other words, you kind of had to like be playing and think like, man, I'm great, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you go along like that for a while, which was our son, you know, whereas my daughter had such finely tuned analytical skills that she'd be like, no, this just isn't good. It's not good, right? So I think when you're young, that will cause you to sort of kill creativity on arrival, right?
Totally.
So there's kind of a gift to like sort of not know.
Yeah.
And that's more the realm of play.
Yeah.
Where you're just playing and just sort of you're in the sandbox and just playing with your toys. And but it's tough when you're a kid that's like, no, I know that's no good. But then eventually, at some point, like you guys are saying, you get to a point where like you're like, you know what? I am a great singer. I'm just going to concentrate on that. Or I'm a great songwriter. I'm going to concentrate on that. You know, you kind of get your lane and stay in that. And then like I'm saying, you know, like I was writing a song 2 weeks ago, you know, on my little baritone ukulele. So first of all, I have to get over the thing of like, I haven't played in 6 months. So, you know, my hands are hurting, you know, the whole thing. But then it's like, oh, that's kind of nice. But it, again, I'm playing like a 14-year-old, right? But I know that now, you know, and I'm okay with it. I know the piano so well that it's helpful to pick up another instrument and write on it. And just sort of have another world opened up to you. And since I'm not good at it, I can just make up stuff that doesn't even, like other people go like, that's not even a chord. And that's kind of helpful too.
Totally.
You find yourself going places that you wouldn't go. What do each of you do to create that space for new imagination and new creativity to bloom? Do you have any practices that are important to you as women and artists that give you the space for that? Like where you have to say, you know, like we were talking about social media, like you say, enough is enough.
Yeah.
I put that away. Are there things that you do that you love doing that just bring you joy that aren't about, hey, I got to be on all the time. You know, I got to make sure I look right. I got to make sure that I'm saying the right things, that I'm posting on my social media, that I'm writing songs, that I'm showing myself to be productive, that I'm getting the numbers that I need, all of that. Like, how do you say, whoa, 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 I need to find myself again because my value is not found in all those things.
Yeah.
What do you do? What are your practices?
Right before I was here, I was in the woods. Yeah. I like to go for like long walks and not listen to anything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll sit in my house and I'll listen to white noise, which sounds kind of creepy and crazy, but it's very good for me to be able to sit and think with nothing at the end of it and nothing kind of like informing those thoughts. Mm. And then journaling is a huge thing for me.
Right.
Sometimes that's a means of communicating to God, sometimes a means of communicating to myself. And then also like talking with people who add a lot of value to my life is something that is really enriching for me. Yeah. So I have like a group of 8 or 9 of us and we meet bi-monthly and we just kind of like check in. Mm. We're like, what made you happy these past 2 weeks? What made you sad? Like, something about that feels extremely good for my mental and like reminds me of who I am, if only because I'm having to talk about it.
Yeah.
So those are some practices that for me are like really life-giving.
That's great.
And like stabilizing.
That would be helpful to all our listeners. Yeah. Thank you. Abby?
I was going to say journaling because it's easy for me to like get out of the rhythm of it. But it's like there's a thing called morning pages where you just wake up and just write and don't think. So I've been doing that. I just started music therapy, which I don't know if you guys know much about it, but I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-mm.
It's been really, really good. And there's this artist that I found this summer, but my roommate and me like have really bonded over it. But this artist called Fred Again. It's very organic in the way of like how he creates. There's a tiny desk. It has like ton of views. I bring that up with the music therapy thing because like you were saying about being a kid, like find my like pure love for music.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to just get wrapped up in all this stuff here and be like, I don't even know anymore.
Mm.
And like finding that inner voice of like why I really love it. Nature's been a huge thing for me too. Like just walking, prayer walking, but also just walking with no like thought at all. Just being like, what do I hear? What do I see? What's sticking out?
Yeah.
Journaling for me too.
Yeah, I love it. I know. 3 journals.
I set a timer for like however much I feel like I have to say, like 10 or 15 minutes and just go. So it's similar to morning pages, but I get so caught up in like trying to finish the pages where I need to just like turn it off and say, I've got 15 minutes and just write. I also keep a morning routine. Like I make my coffee the same way every day. I lift weights in the morning. I do all of the things that I'm supposed to do. And it kind of keeps the negative self-talk out of my head.
Great.
Also, I got a dog, which just has healed my heart in so many ways. We walk a lot, but that's about it for me.
That's sweet.
Very good. Thank you, guys. This has just been amazing hearing from you and spending time with women history makers. You guys are making history. You know, there's not a moment that goes by that you aren't making history. And I hope you're encouraged by this conversation and getting the 3 of you together for this 4 on the floor, including me. So it's a privilege to listen in to your hearts and your minds and to, gosh, just to feel the power of your artistry and your intentionality, your wisdom that you have, being so young, the things that you guys have shared. I mean, there are so many things that you've shared are things I didn't find out until I was well into my 30s or 40s. So you're all bosses. Yeah, I love it. So thank you so much for being with us on Music and Meaning today. Oh, I'm really moved by this. Thank you.
So fun. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Better Samaritan podcast, where Jamie Aiton and Kent Annan discuss everything from simple acts of kindness to complex humanitarian challenges with their guests. Want to learn how to faithfully do good better? Find insights at The Better Samaritan.